Like I said, today we're starting a new series called It's Complicated, and it's all about relationships. And one of the things I was thinking about is one of my favorite Disney movies of all time. It's a little girly, but one of my favorite Disney movies of all time is Cinderella. Now, my wife loves it a lot more, but the reason she loves it is because she tells me that she loves it because the prince chose Cinderella. She wanted to be that princess where the prince someday chooses her, and the problem is I chose her. And so the thing is, at the end of the movie, Cinderella, they conclude with this wonderful love story. They're riding off into the sunset, and it says these words, and they all lived happily ever after. And we all look at that and say, I want that in my life, not just in my marriage, not just in my dating relationship, but I want happily ever after in all of my relationships. But the problem is my wife, Mandy, married me. And you married somebody else, and you may have kids, and you've got friends, and you maybe have frenemies, you know, friends who, you know, you're really enemies, and they know it, and you know it, but you call yourself friends. You know, we've got coworkers and all sorts of things, and we look at our relationships in our life, and we say, where is my happily ever after that I signed up for, that I hoped for, that I wanted in my life? You know, the reality is we were all created to have healthy, thriving relationships with one another. But the thing is, if you've been around long enough, you realize that relationships are much more complex than in the movies, aren't they? They're a lot more difficult to find. They can be messy, and they can even be complicated. In fact, let me take you to Facebook world just for a minute. If you're not on Facebook, no big deal. But one of the things that you do as you're filling out your profile on Facebook is there's a time where you click a button to give your DTR. That's to define the relationship. You define the relationship between you and somebody else. And there's all sorts of options, like single and engaged and married. In fact, I remember when Mandy and I got to change our Facebook status, define the relationship to say we were engaged. And everybody liked it. But the reality is there's also this interesting one. The most funny one is called It's Complicated. It's complicated. And the funny thing is, I was looking at what does it's complicated even mean? Like, what does this mean? And I read some things, and some people say, well, it means, one, it could mean we're in denial. We want to be in a relationship, but the other person doesn't want to be in a relationship, and so we're kind of in denial. It could mean that things are just really complicated in a sense that we're hoping something changes, but it hasn't changed yet. It's complicated. And so the reality is, as we do this series, every relationship in our life, it's complicated, if we can be honest. Not just in our marriages or our dating life, but every relationship in our life is complicated. And every relationship takes work in order to make it work. And so this series isn't just a marriage series, okay? This is a series that's all about relationships, all of our relationships, our friends, our coworkers. You can take these principles in this series, these principles, and apply it to every relationship in your life. You know, there's an interesting tool on Facebook that when a relationship starts to get a little messy in the digital world, you can actually do something about it. At first, you become friends with somebody, but if somebody is kind of acting up on Facebook or something like that, you can actually click a button and decide that you want to unfriend that person. You can unfriend them, and from that moment on, they're no longer in your Facebook universe. They're out of sight, out of mind. And the reality is, in real life, you can't just unfriend your spouse when things are difficult. You can't just unfriend your kids when they're getting on your last nerve. You can't unfriend your boss or your pastor. No, you can't unfriend the people in your life, the friends who have let you down. You can't just click people away. And so we've got to figure out how to take what's complicated and messy and make it work, make our relationships work to the glory of God. And so as we're starting today, we're going to look at two scriptures. One is really short and one is kind of our main scripture. But before we get into that, let's talk about two simple truths that we have to know about every relationship. The first simple truth that we have to know about, and really it's a hard truth, and I tell you hard things because I love you, right? And so here's the first hard truth about relationships. The first one is this: you can expect problems in your relationships. Now, that probably shouldn't be a surprise to you. You can expect problems in your relationships. So many times we enter into a relationship with somebody, and all of a sudden things get complicated, and it becomes work and difficult, and sometimes we wonder, something must be wrong with us. Something must be wrong with them or with me or with you. And the reality is, We're human beings. Congratulations. We're messy human beings. And because we're in relationship with other messy human beings, our relationships are going to, it's not always going to be moonlight and roses. You're going to experience problems, some difficulties, some speed bumps in your relationship that we've got to be able to work through with God's help. And so kind of a great example of this, and something you can maybe take heart in, is the reality is Jesus even experienced problems in his relationships. Did you know that? Jesus experienced problems in his relationship with, you know who? With us. See, Jesus, just like how the prince chose Cinderella, just how the prince reached out and chose Cinderella, the Bible tells us that God has chosen us. That God wants a relationship with us. He's picked us special, and he pursues us with all he's got. But so many times in our life, we make things complicated between us and God. So God knows what it feels like to have complicated relationships. See, God's been pursuing us with this constant love that he has for us, but we oftentimes forget about him. We oftentimes, as he's running toward us and trying to show us how much he loves us, we often make things complicated by turning to so many other things instead of God. And so God knows what it feels like to have complicated relationships. But I want you to check out how God responds when we made our relationship with him complicated. And the scripture is John chapter 1, verse 14. Let's go ahead and get that on the screen. And let's read it out loud together. Ready? Go. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Man, you guys are passionate about that today. Awesome. I'm joking. But anyway, the reality is Jesus is our model for relationships. He's our model for every relationship. And so this may seem like a huge thing of theology and what in the world does this mean? We're going to unpack it. Because the reality is Jesus didn't become distant when we made things difficult in our relationship with him. He didn't distance himself from us and avoid the situation. Jesus didn't become defensive when all of a sudden we hurt him. Jesus didn't become demanding, trying to manipulate us or trying to control us from heaven. He didn't demand, he didn't get defensive, and he wasn't distant. No, John chapter 1 tells us, it starts out, we didn't read the whole thing, where it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In other words, he's talking about Jesus is the Word. And he's saying that Jesus always has existed. That this huge, lofty thing about the power and presence of God and how large and powerful God is. And he says that Jesus was there in creation. And that Jesus is God right now, and Jesus will always be God. And so this huge, lofty thing about, wow, God, you are so big. And then it goes to verse 14, and it shows us how God was willing to humble himself, even when we didn't deserve it. That he was willing to put on human flesh and decided to dwell among us. The God who was so transcendent decided to become so imminent and so close to us. And so that's what godly relationships look like. Jesus is the model. It's what it looks like. See, God was willing to do the hard work in order to be in relationship with us. And he wants us to do the hard work in our relationships with one another. See, notice God didn't tap out. God didn't throw in the towel when we made things difficult. It says that he dwelled among us. And it's a funny phrase in John chapter 1, verse 14, that he dwelled among us. It's actually the analogy of going camping. Now, how many of you like going camping? How many of you like to go camping at a hotel, but act like you're going camping and you roast marshmallows? Okay, that's the kind of camping I did. I was a music major, so, you know, you can, you know, cast the stones where they may be. But anyway, the analogy of going camping is when you go camping, you take your stuff, you take your tent, and you go to some place you weren't before, and you set up the tent and you move in. And this is the analogy that John is giving us about Jesus. And that's why the message translates this verse in verse 14 by saying the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We have a God who decided to leave his throne in heaven and to move into our neighborhood so that he could be with us, so that he could look at us face to face. And so if you've ever had relationship problems or difficulties or speed bumps or whatever we call them, Jesus did too. Take heart. But Jesus loved us too much to leave our status between us and him as complicated and broken. God doesn't want us to have brokenness in any of our relationships. He wants us to have reconciliation. And he was willing to do the hard work to bring us to him, to move us to bring peace into our relationships with him by moving into the neighborhood, by moving into our messy lives, and later by laying down his life for the very people who put him on the cross. So we're reading all this, and it's like, goodness, what is this about? Relationships. Jesus is the model, and so we're going to talk about what that means. So the second hard truth you have to know about relationships is this. You have to accept responsibility for the relationship problems in your life. Now, the emphasis on you. You have to accept responsibility for the relationship problems in your life. The reality is, what do we do so many times when stuff happens in our relationships, when things are maybe not the way we want them to be? So many times we do this, finger point. We kind of say, well, it was him and it was her and it was the circumstance and it certainly wasn't me. They did this to me and she did this to me and they said that, and so it wasn't about me at all. And the reality is about all of this stuff. You may have gotten really, really excited about when you heard about this relationship series. And you may have thought of somebody that they've got to be here. My husband or my wife, I've got to bring them here. That friend in my life that's causing problems in my relationships, I got to get him here so that they can hear this stuff. They really need to hear this. But the reality is we all need to grow in our relationships. It takes two to have a relationship. And sometimes we only see what the other person is doing and what the other person is not doing. And we so often forget to turn the mirror back at ourselves. And so many times we wonder, we say, well, Andy, how can I change them? Or how can I change them? They're causing problems in my relationship. And the reality is, it's not our job to focus on that. It's our job to focus on what God wants to do and what God can do in me and let God work on that other person. And so if you're married, here's how this kind of plays out. Your spouse is not your project. They're your partner. Your spouse is not your project, they're your partner. You guys are created to do life and to do ministry and to do everything, family life, together. And so some of us, though, have been trying to fix things in other relationships, fix things about people in our life that are way above our pay grade. And Jesus might say to us in the middle of this series, I want my job back. Let me do the work in them. Focus on how you can grow in your relationship with me and your relationship with one another and leave the rest to me. And so what we're going to look at today is a passage from Philippians chapter 2, and it really gives us this model of what relationships look like. It's really the secret sauce, if you will, of how to have a great relationship, and there's really only one point. It's really, really simple, but it's really hard to put into practice. We need God's help to do that. Philippians chapter 2, the reason we are looking at this, and it's going to show God as the model of relationships, is because God is the ultimate relationship coach. He shows us what it looks like. And in Philippians chapter 2, the reality is, it's this beautiful passage of scripture, heavy in theology, but the reality is, Paul is writing this to the church in Philippi, not to tell them all these cool things about God, but he's trying to answer the question for them, how can we be in relationship with one another? How can we have happy, healthy relationships? And so Paul answers it. And so it's going to happen in the key point is going to happen in verses 3-4. And the rest of the verses, he's going to take an example from Jesus' life and to illustrate what it looks like for us. And so Philippians chapter 2, verses 3-11. Here's what it says. It says this. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking at your own interest, but each of you to the interests of others. Now, here's how he's going to play it out. Here's the example. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that is at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? And so many times when we hear this scripture, we focus on the last part. How at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and tongue confess. But we miss the model of how God did that for us. And the relational principle behind it. And so here's the relational principle, the bottom line for today. It's this. Look to the interest of other people before yourself. Look to the interest of other people before yourself. Jesus is saying this. When you look at all your relationships and everything that's going on in your life, look at the interest of you before me. I'm going to look to the interest of you before me. And the reason we struggle with this so much in our relationships is because so many times we get it backwards. So many times we say, I want what I want. I need my needs met. And we neglect your needs. We neglect the needs of others. And we want what we want, and we forget about what other people want. And the lie that we buy into so many times that causes this to happen is we start to believe that if I focus on God and if I focus on you, then who in the world is going to care for me? Who's going to take care of me? And so we live our lives kind of like a turtle in our relationship. We suck in. We protect ourselves. We make sure that we're protected by this relational shell where we don't ever get vulnerable with other people and let people really into our lives. Relationships never happen that way. And as we do that, so many times it prevents us from fully loving God and fully loving others with the way God created us to love. This is why this is so important. There's so much at stake. Now let me just kind of make sure that we understand this. Paul is not taking it to an extreme. He's not condemning taking care of yourself. He's not saying, I don't want you to have any self-care in your life. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying, I want you to just ignore your desires, forget about you, and just abuse yourself. That's not what he's saying. That would be a complete extreme. What he's saying, he realizes, the Bible teaches that the Bible knows that we don't have to be told to love ourselves. Most of us don't have a problem with loving ourselves. And so Paul understands this. And so he's basically saying this, I know you're going to pay attention to yourself. I know that you're going to pay attention to your own needs and your own interests and your own dreams. In fact, that's normal and it's healthy. You see the balance here. It's not trying to be more spiritual by tossing yourself and your desires completely away. It's this balance here. But what he's saying is this, where most people struggle is we put all the focus on ourselves or getting what we want, and we don't think about what the other person wants. That's why put others before ourselves is the principle. And when we do that, our relationships, when we get it backwards, our relationships can seem so cold that we can become so selfish, and it leaves us completely unfulfilled in our relationships. Now, I'm a very visual person, and so I wanted to kind of show you there's two different relational principles here that we can live out. And it's in a backwards V or in the V, the upside down V or in the V. And so the problem is most of us live our lives with an upside down V pattern. You can kind of trace Philippians chapter 2 with the other V, but this is the way we so often live. So many times in our relationship with one another, in our relationship with God, we try to elevate ourselves. We forget about other people. We elevate ourselves and our needs and our desires. In fact, Adam did this in his relationship with God, and we followed ever since this path that Adam tried to gain equality with God. We try to elevate ourselves in our relationships, and what happens so many times? We're left with the relationships we never really wanted. We're left with a relationship that's completely unfulfilled. And so when Jesus sees this, Jesus gives us a different model. And he says, in our relationships, don't live with a backwards V trying to elevate yourself. Flip the script. Turn it around and realize that this is the model I want you to live. And it was a model that nobody had really seen before, because everything in us says, protect ourselves. Get what's mine. Forget about your needs. I'm going to get mine. And so Jesus, when he comes onto the scene, Jesus was fully God. He was the name above every name. He was sitting on the highest throne in heaven, and yet he was willing to humble himself to live among us, to move into our neighborhood, to die on a cross for our sins. And he decided to leave his throne in heaven so he could look at us face to face. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And so the reality of all this is, Jesus gave his life up so we can be reconciled to God. And because of that, at the name of Jesus, now every knee shall bow and tongue confess. Those who humble themselves and look at the needs of others will be elevated in the kingdom of God. And it happens in our relationship with God as well. So what does that tell us about relationships? This is a bunch of theology. What does this have to do with my spouse and my friends and all this stuff? Well, Jesus demonstrated that if you want to love someone, you've got to be willing to humble yourselves and get down to their level. If you want to empathize with somebody, you've got to do the hard work to put yourself in their shoes and find out what they need. In fact, so many times, especially guys, we're not real good with feelings, you know. We like to say, I think about this, and women often say, I feel this. And oftentimes we miss each other in our communication because we don't want to talk about feelings and we don't want to talk about what we think. We want to talk about, all this stuff, and we miss each other. But the reality is we need to be having conversations with one another to find out from one another, what do you need? What are your fears? What are your disappointments? What is it in your life? Where do you need love most? All these things to find out what each other wants in life. And that's the way God wants us to do our relationships. See, if we want to communicate and connect with someone, we can't stay up on high, on a high horse, and we can't remove ourselves or be separated from a relationship. You've got to be humble yourself enough to give up your time sometimes, to give up your pride, to give up what's comfortable, and to give up sometimes some of your own interest in order to go and be with them. That's what Jesus did for us, and that's what he wants us to do. So let me give you an example of what this looks like. All this theology, what does this look like in real life? A couple of weekends ago, I was at home. It was a Saturday, and we slept in, or I should say I slept in, and it was awesome. I slept in, and I woke up, and I smelled this amazing smell, and I went outside of our room and realized that Mandy was already up. She was ready to go, and there were cinnamon rolls sitting on the table, and I thought, man, I married an awesome girl. And I just looked at her, and I said, we don't have cinnamon rolls all the time. And so I said, dear, to what do I owe this pleasure? I mean, why did you do this on Saturday morning, and why'd you get up early and do this? And she said, well, I just wanted a new pair of shoes, and I knew that that would be, no, that's not what she said. What she said to me was so profound. She said, I did it because I was thinking about you. I was thinking about you. You know, the reality is she did it because she knew I would like it. She didn't do it because I asked her to do it or because it was required of her. It's kind of like if I were to come to her on Valentine's Day and say to her, hey, dear, I brought you some flowers. And she smiles really, really brightly. And then I say to her, well, I only gave it to you because I'm supposed to. I mean, this is my duty as a husband. So here you go. How would she feel about that? Not very good. Right? And so what she did to me is she basically said, look, I did something for you just to show you I was thinking about you. And just because I care about you, I'm putting your needs and your desires and what makes you happy above my desires. And so she did it because she loves me. And when she did this, it was just some cinnamon rolls, no big deal. But what it spoke to me is, man, I am loved. I am valued. And that's what happens when we do that in our relationships. That's the power of paying attention to other people's desires and needs. In fact, that's how you do ministry with people in your spheres of influence. When people are going through things in our life, a lot of sharing the gospel and sharing about Jesus is simply showing up and paying attention. And people will start saying things in their life, things that they're struggling with, things that they're going through, and we don't always have to fix it. But what we can do is say, look, I can't believe what you're going through, but, I've had God in my life, and I don't know how I'd do it without Jesus in my life. Maybe you'd like to come to church with me, or maybe you can share your faith journey with them. So many times, ministry and relationships is just about showing up and paying attention. See, if we just go the extra step to put you before me, it's powerful. So I want to ask you this question, how we can apply this. What can you do this week to show someone, I've been thinking about you? What can you do this week to show someone, your spouse, your friends, I've been thinking about you? See, look at Jesus' example here. Kind of see this V pattern. This is kind of the model. This isn't a peace sign. This is a V, baby. This is the way God wants us to live and the way Jesus modeled life with us. That Jesus was fully God and he didn't stay up in heaven and say, if you want to talk to me, you got to come get me. Jesus didn't do that. We do that in our relationships sometimes. We didn't do anything to earn that relationship with God. God was willing. Jesus came for us. He moved into our neighborhood. Even though it was risky and vulnerable, even though it meant that he was going to have to give up his very life to do it. But, and the other thing that's crazy is Jesus had all the power, infinite power, all the power in the cosmos living inside of him. And the funny thing is he didn't use all that power to exploit us. He didn't use all the power that he had to manipulate us to his own advantage, as the scripture said. He used his power. He used his position to come down to our level so that he could connect with us. In the business world, this is so profound. If you run your business this way, it'll change people's lives. It'll change the world. Because the reality is, nobody lives their life like this. Everybody lives with, I'm going to take care of me. But if we're willing to say, I'm going to look after the needs of you before me, it's so profound, and it can lead people closer to Jesus. This is a simple principle, y'all. Look at the needs of others above ourselves. But I think that it can take a dead relationship and bring it back to life. I think it can take a mundane, boring relationship that's been coasting on autopilot, a relationship that's in need of CPR and recitation and all sorts of things, and it can all of a sudden bring joy into that relationship and make the sparks fly and the chemistry make sense. Instead of focusing on just our own needs, or being angry about what we're not receiving in a relationship from that person, God says to us, flip the script. Look at the needs of others above yourself. And so here's the next steps for you today. If you're taking notes, here's the things I want you to do. We don't ever want you to just hear a message and say, that was nice, go Jesus. We want you to apply this to our life. And so here's some questions I want you to ask and actually live out this week. The first one is this: how can I serve you? Look at the relationships with other people, with your spouse, with other people, and say to yourself, ask yourself, how can I serve you? You can actually ask this in your head, and you can actually do it. How can I put you before me, in other words? The second question is this, and because the reality is, Jesus, when he came for us, this wasn't a soft love that he had for us. It was a love that cost him everything he had, the very best he had. He sacrificed his very best. And so the question I have for you is this: not only how can I serve you, or how can I put you before me? The second question is, what are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to sacrifice to make your relationship better? Maybe for you, it's sacrificing some time. Maybe it's going on a date night with your spouse. I know we need to do that. We're going to do that this week. Maybe it's sacrificing some money in some kind of way. Maybe it's sacrificing some rights, some pride that maybe you've been holding back that's been preventing you from being vulnerable again. Maybe it's the ego. What are you willing to sacrifice to make your relationships better? My prayer for us is that we would love the way Jesus loves. But reality is we can't do that on our own. We have to rely on the power of God working inside of us. Because so many times we try and we try and we try, and yet we live in the backwards V that says, I'm going to take care of me. But Jesus says, I'm going to take care of you. I want you to love me and to focus on others, and I'll show you the kind of love that I can bring into your life. Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much for your love, for your power in our life. God, we're so amazed that you would take all the power and presence that is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you would leave your throne in heaven to step into our messy lives and to move into our neighborhood. And so God, I pray that we would be willing in our lives, with the power of you working in us, to be willing to risk and to be vulnerable with one another in our relationships. God, I pray that you would help us to have the courage to trust you in those relationships when even things are on the rocks, when things aren't making sense. And for some of us, our relationships, you may say, hey, my relationships are going great. Well, God, we know we all need to grow in our relationships. But God, we know it starts with you. And so God, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would help us. You would help us to love, to experience your love that's so radical that can change our life. But God, you would send us out to love our spouses, to love our kids, to love our families, our coworkers, our friends, and everybody in our life the way you first loved us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.